Blog Talk Radio.
Thank everyone for tuning in. This is Brother Haru, author, also known as Dwayne Hendricks, also known as Kaba Ebots and Ray. This is New Ankh Radio, and we come together every Thursday and strive to honor our great ancestors in everything that we do. This is a question and answer forum, and we most definitely encourage questions, and we encourage input from the brothers and sisters listening. Even if you don't have a question, it's good to hear your voices and feel your energy, as again, we do everything we do to honor our ancestors. I'll put the line for my great brother. T-Dar Griffo. Peace. How you doing, sir? You there, Griffo?
Okay. Seems like the brother's having some technical difficulties.
For those that are listening online as well, so to the family listening online, if you have any questions that you would like to ask in the chat room, you can go ahead and ask them now. And we're also waiting on my sister Trey. Okay, Griffo said he's going to be 5 minutes late. Bear with us, fam. Okay, there's my sister. Peace. You there?
I'm here. Peace.
You're for the party.
I didn't mean to be. I had what'd you say?
Your birthday was last month. You ain't got no excuse.
I do. See, I forgot the show was going to be the shadow, so I promised Jazz yesterday we would start a ritual every shadow at 9. So it was beautiful song, yeah. So I'm like, I literally like the candle and we smudge and then listen to the song. It's so beautiful. But just to the release and let go and connect. So, yeah, I was like, well, that'll be all right. I really didn't even know I ran this far over, but it had to be done. So how y'all doing?
Good. I'm good.
That's all
right. We're waiting on Brother Kedar.
Okay, cool. I know, I just saw that text. I'm like, oh, man. I'm late. He late.
Man. Negroes. CPT. Colored people's time.
Hey, okay. Leave us alone.
You say what?
Hold on. No, I said you better leave us alone.
I got a message. So what's new? What's going on, sis?
Everything is new. I got some good news. Not that I'm going to share it on the show, though, but I'll talk to you about it later. Yeah.
Cool.
It's time to manifest some great things. Like I had said in the video, today there was a solar eclipse. And a lot of these events, we're not able to see them because depending on where we live on the planet, but the effects are still relevant for us to tap into them. And we're going to have a new moon. We have a new moon tomorrow on the 2nd, and that's powerful too. You know, a lot of people feel like you have to wait for New Year's or, you know, all these different things to happen to make new things happen and to manifest greatness and focus your energy into manifesting these things, and you don't. So, you know, follow the moon cycles and do your manifestations, do your rituals. They really do work. And I'm actually planning to make a vision board soon. So, you know, I've never made a vision board, even though I always hear about them. I do post up on my wall, have a little board, but it's not literally a vision board. So, I'm just telling people, you know, tap into this energy we have going. Stay connected. It's real vital. So,
right.
Yeah, especially right now. So I got some stuff going on for the month, cleansing, doing this retrograde, and I'm excited. I'm excited. That's it.
Right.
What's new with you?
I'm just doing research for this next book, and also I'm finishing up another children's book. So it's gonna be about a little boy this time. You know, the first one was about a little girl, so this one is about a little boy, and it's gonna be equally as good. You know, it's gonna have a a history lesson in it, you know, a spiritual message and everything else. So, you know, it takes some time to put them together sometimes so they come out to be what we need them to be. But it's better to have the patience to be able to see it through, you know. That's what
Absolutely.
I'm learning. So.
Absolutely.
And you know, truth be told, like you said, I'm working on the same thing for myself. It's really just focusing on being able to manifest things. And I was, you know, talking to my son's mother the other day, and we were talking about having a childlike imagination. So I'll go ahead and I'll share this with the family. Part of the thing, I think one of the critical things that happen to us as adults is life destroys our imagination based on our experiences and our pitfalls and things that we go through. And, you know, of course, I you know, I'm a wordsmith, so I really like to now look at words, break them down, look at them backwards and everything else. And I was looking at that word imagination. It has a nation in it, of course. You know, we know what a nation could be considered as a large body of people, a large body of land, or whatever you want to consider it to be. But then I was looking at the word magi is in middle of that word. And, you know, now knowing that, you know, magi means wise man or wise person, and then you have I. So you have
right.
I, Magi, the nation, right?
Right.
And you know, when you put the I and the Magi together, you get the word image. So,
right.
You know, it really got me to thinking because the I, you know, I is the ninth letter. Of course, we know that. But, you know, the I is also the all-seeing eye, which is your third eye. And Magi can be considered your wisdom. So, one of the things that I learned back in the day is that, you know, through the mind's eye, right, we could we could create a whole nation. You know, I through my eye, Magi, you know, through my mind's eye, my wise eye can create a nation, you know. And that's when we get into when we talk about manifesting our own destiny, creating our own future, making life what we want it to be. I think that's the most essential thing that we have to begin to realize all over again is that, you know, when you have that childlike imagination and you put forth this energy into the universe and you focus on whatever it is you want to accomplish, you know, the universe will align itself to you.
Right.
And it will send you everything you need. And, you know, it was just funny because I was talking with some guys from my hometown yesterday, and one of my guys, we probably been knowing each other since we 11 years old, you know, like little boys in the sixth grade or something like that. And he was telling me the things that he remembered about me at 11. And how serious I was about life and how, you know, I always seemed to want something more than what the other brothers around me wanted. You know what I mean? And you know, you remember things about your childhood, but you never know how other people perceive you. You know what I mean?
Right.
So he was basically telling me, you know, these things about myself that drew him to me once we reconnected on Facebook as adults, and he started seeing me post the stuff that I was posting. And he said at first he thought I was kind of crazy, but he was just, you know, paying attention from afar. And, you know, said, man, he said, I couldn't deny it no more because he said everything that I was asking myself that I knew somehow I was going to be able to find out one day, he said, you start answering every question I ever had on your Facebook post. You know. And that's, to me, that's a confirmation because that brother was asking the universe.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And, like, one piece of my puzzle may come through you. Another piece of my puzzle may come through my daughter. Another piece of my puzzle may come from watching Oprah Winfrey give a speech on TV or whatever the case may be, you know, and, and us, like us opening up our mind and opening up our heart to receive what it is we say from the universe is the difference, you know.
Yeah.
And, of course, the actions that come with the manifestation.
Yeah.
You know, because depending on what it is you're trying to accomplish, some things you maybe could pull off in 6 months. You know, some things may take 16 years, you know. But it's about the process, because that's the process is what makes you a success. That's what people don't understand. It's not the finish line. It's what you go through to get to the finish line that makes you successful. You know, but we are far too often we see the finished product, you know, and we go, we cheer for that person, like, yay, that person made it. But the real Kanye West is the Kanye West that said, imagine yourself locking yourself in a room, making 5 beats a day for 3 summers. You know, that's a different world, like Cree Summers. I deserve to do these numbers. That's Kanye West that nobody saw. People just see what they see now, you know. Yeah, but that's what made him who he is, them 5 beats a day for 3 summers, you know. You know, so I just wanted to, you know, share that with the family, you know, and hopefully the guru could come on and I could ask him some questions. Family, if y'all listening and y'all, you know, y'all had questions, I know a lot of people connect with me in Facebook groups. And if you've seen something that I posted in a group or, you know, a question that somebody had and I answered, you know, press one, raise your hand, and come on, man. We don't bite. You know, we your brothers and sisters. We ain't leaders. We ain't trying to be, you know, the gurus or none of that. You know, this is a open forum for all of us. We knights at the round table.
Right.
Peace, Keto. What's going on, bro?
Yeah, I'm here. What's good, fam?
Hey, peace.
Not much.
Hey, Trey.
What
how
was you
doing?
Saying, sis?
I'm good. How are you? Nah, I was just saying that that's what everybody needs to know. I know we reiterated so much, but we are here for the people to interact and pose questions so we can create dialogue and not just sit around and get in our egos and get to talking about everything we know. So I want everybody to really understand that, because if not, then there's no purpose of being on the line. As far as from our perspective, it would be nice.
Right.
I mean, there's many other places you can go and just hear people talk, but this is a chance for you to open up and build with like minds and ask the questions that you can't really ask anybody that's around you or that you might personally know. So feel free. And it doesn't matter what the topic is. That's why we're here. That's why we're all here. So.
Right.
And you all need to do is press one to have your line opened up, so that we can open your line and answer your questions. That's basically it. I know. What were you saying, bro? You had something to ask. You were saying you were going to build on.
Yeah,
did
absolutely.
Did any of them hit you up with any questions before the show?
Yeah, we got somebody with their hand up, actually. So.
Okay, great.
707, area code, Jerome.
Hey, greetings, everybody.
Peace and love.
Haru, I tried to hit you up sometime last month, man. Just wanted to wish you a happy birthday.
Oh, I appreciate that, bro. Were you trying to hit me up on my phone?
Yeah, I don't know if you still got the same number or not, but yeah, I tried to hit you up. I left a message and everything.
Look here, man. You got it. Look, my number. Look, this is the only cell phone number I ever had, so my number don't change. So if your number changed, you got to text me, because I ain't answering them numbers I don't know.
Okay. All right, I got you. Yeah, I did change my number recently.
Yeah. So you gotta text me, but I appreciate that, bro. What's been up with you?
I've just been working and back in school recently, trying to get some more skills so I can get a better job out here.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
That's what's up. Elevation. That's good, bro.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask, like, have you been on YouTube lately? Have you seen kind of like the emergence of Dr. York's son, Prince York? He's been on Sinetter's show and all that, answering questions about his father and what have you.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, so what you want to know?
Oh, I was just curious, like, have you, like, reached out to him on social media, or you just don't really trip on him like that?
Nah, absolutely not. If you really want to know, he stole some money from my little sister. A little sister of mine that lives in Baltimore, Maryland. He's a part of this group of people that's going around doing this scam, saying that they are giving people sovereign IDs that are attached to the Yemassee name that Dr. York basically had the charter for the Yemassee Native American Moors. She's a single mother of three, and she sent him over $350, and she never got, you know, nothing back. You can't have a sovereign nation without a BIA registry number. You can't have a Native American sovereign nation or anything like that without a BIA registry number. So if you go listen to any of those recordings that Dr. York had on the internet and he's talking about his case, he would always say, "This is my crew chief, Black Thunderbird Eagle, or Yemassee Native American Moors, BIA registry number 208-1999. And he was doing that for a reason. You know, people have to understand, when you listen to a master teacher, everything that they do, everything that they say, if you look at a picture of them, you got to look at the background of the picture. You got to look at what colors they're wearing and everything else, because they're conveying a message in everything that they do. So with that particular situation, I could give you some more stories, you know, about different things that have happened that I, you know, have been told about this guy, but I don't really want to get too into that, you know, because that ain't really what this show is about. You always get on my line, and we can talk about whatever you want to know when it comes to that, though.
Okay. Yeah, I was just kind of wondering about him because he just kind of showed up on the scene, and I didn't know how legit he was, but, yeah, that's kind of foul if that's what he's doing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, he said his dad will be out at the end of the year, so let's see. All you have to do is listen. Just look at these people. Just look at these people. Listen to what they say and watch what they do. You know, that's all you have to do. You know what I mean? And if they are, you know, going like he's talking about things that is being done with his father's case, but it's also another woman that has videos out there that supposedly she's in communication with Dr. York, and they're working on his case, and they need money. Both sides are asking for money. So that's what you got to always realize. At the end of the day, with all these different events and organizations and everything else, people are asking for money. You know, that's why we don't want no money. We want, buy my book, buy Kedar books, read the book, you know, get what you can get from that. And we're going to keep it pushing, and we're going to keep writing books, and we're going to work on other projects together, you know. But I really don't like even talking about any of that stuff no more, because it's so counterproductive, and it takes away from what I'm about, you know. And, you know, if Dr. York is going to get out and by the end of the year, you know what I mean, I'll be one happy camper. You know what I'm saying? I might drink a whole bottle of champagne you know. But we'll see what happens. I might smoke some weed if Dr. York get out of prison, seriously. But if it happened, you know, we'll see. You know, that's all I could tell you, you know, in that situation.
So like, are any of Dr. York's kids, like decent people, not running no scams? Because I know, like, Jacob York, he did it wrong. Prince York is doing this. Go ahead.
Listen, man, listen, I can't tell you because I don't have no relationship with none of them people.
Right, right. Okay.
Right. One of my close people, like, you know, Kedar, my brother, Kedar was there. You know what I'm saying? I got another brother that was there for 20-some-odd years. I got another sister that's, like, one of my close personal friends, and she actually lived in the house with him, and when he got up out of his bed, she was the person who went in his room and made up his bed, you know. So, you know, I know people that was right there, you know what I mean? And I don't deal with none of his children. I don't even deal with anything that has to do with his case or none of that type of stuff no more because, like I'm saying, it's just counterproductive. It's too many different mechanisms of division and confusion when you deal with all that. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's always going to be like that. If you study, here's what you do. This is what I learned from Dr. York. He said, if you want to know what's going on with me, read The Rise and Fall of Elijah Muhammad. When you go read that book, it's telling you about the COINTELPRO operations that was going on in the Nation of Islam at the time when it was basically going through its turmoil when, you know, the war between Elijah and Malcolm, or the war that was seeming to be perpetuated between Elijah and Malcolm and all of these different things. You go get that book and you read that book and you'll understand why I don't really care to indulge in talking about his family or anything that's going on, because it's always going to be hearsay. It's always going to be, you know, something that you can't put facts behind. So what's the use?
Right, right.
You know, because, like, even if, think about this, Kedar be on this call with me every week. Even if he tell me, yeah, Brother Haru, A, B, C, D, that's my brother, and I can only go by his character on what he showed me as a person through the time that I've been knowing him. But I still would be under a belief system, and I would still be going by hearsay because I'm having to take his word for something.
Right.
You see what I mean? So that's how I look at the whole situation, you know. We got a couple more callers on here, so let me open these lines.
Okay.
4800 area code.
How are you? I'm Kim from Arizona. Love, light, and laughter to you all on the line, my brothers and sisters, queens and kings.
Thank you. Thank you. How are you, sister?
I'm doing well. I'm happy. I'm joyful. Good. I'm here.
Great. Do you want to present a topic, or you have a question, or?
I'm just here listening out. I hope that my love energy reaches you guys with a big. No, I'm just here from Arizona, formerly New York. I'm a former airline employee. I'm now retired. So, you know, I'm taking all the portals out here in Arizona. I'm loving the train. This is something that you can't put into words. So I'm just listening.
Okay, cool. You going in and out, so I don't know if you getting closer to something or you moving farther away from something.
It's probably my phone. I'm in the mountains out here, in the mountains.
Okay. Well, yeah, your line is open, so if you want to say anything based on the discussions that we have, sister.
Thank you so much. I'm so grateful.
Yeah, and thank you for calling in. 682
no
area code.
Yeah, what's going on, man? Speaking of you, about the hearsay stuff, you ever heard of Walter Williams, professor? You ever heard of him before?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask one question first, but I was listening to him, you know, and he was saying that, a lot of stuff like Joseph Flavius didn't exist, Manteo didn't exist. You saying that the Sumerians didn't exist. You saying that the hieroglyphics hadn't been decoded. He was saying that Persians never existed. I mean, this is a professor and a so-called master teacher, you know, and he was saying none of that existed. And then my second question is, and I'm just asking you to, I'm saying no more. I was having a discussion with a dude on Facebook about the Omics. And now, you say they crossed over, or not crossed over, they came to America, what's called America, before the Continental Drift. And the Continental Drift didn't happen until like 150 million years, the split. So maybe I'm wrong, I don't know, but I'm trying to see how did the Olmecs get here before the Continental Drift if it was 150 million years that it split. So those are my two questions.
Well, when I put that in the book, I based that on the fact that, one of the things that I learned was that the ancestors walked here from Africa. When you get into the Olmec civilization and you look at, for instance, the historian named Sarabim, you could look this up, Sarahughn, Sarabim. He wrote a book, I think it's called a Codex Ignatius or something like that. And it's the history of the Aztec people and the people who were encountered by the conquistadors from Spain. When they asked who built the pyramids that are in Mexico, they said they were already there when they got there. So in the book, I explained that it was actually a civilization called the Toltec before the Aztec.
Right.
And then for the Toltecs was the Olmec.
Right.
No, we know that the Olmecs came from Africa because they brought something to this part of the planet called a rubber tree.
Right.
They were called the rubber people because of that.
Right. Right. Well,
so,
I guess I'm trying to say,
go ahead. What was you going to say?
Yeah, well, I guess, I get that part, but I guess the time frame. If the split didn't happen to about 150 million years, 600, then 300, then 150 million years, the split happened, were the first humans that old then? 150 million years old? Were the first humans that old? The first bone or whatever? I thought the first bone was Lucy bone, like 6 million years old. I mean, I'm trying to get that time frame, you see what I'm saying, them crossing over.
Well, when you look at certain civilizations, you got to look at something like the Mayans that just disappeared.
Right, yeah. I mean, I hear you on that, you know what I'm saying? I just trying to get that time frame part, as far as the 150 million year split.
But I don't have a whole complete time frame. What that was based on is the fact that there's been artifacts found. There have been stories that have been passed down, of an existence of people that was already here, before any of those so-called. The whole point was to show that the original people that were indigenous to this land were what you would call Nubans. That Nuban
right.
came and Nuban came before Nubian.
Right. Right.
Nubian came when Arabs began to mix in with our people, and that's the importance of understanding Ptah and Anu versus Kemet.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the whole thing. And,
right.
And me explaining the way it was explained in the book.
I hear you. I'll do some little more research on to see, you know, that time frame. The other question, too, why do you think Walter Williams was saying that you know, now he made a point about the letter J not existing
I can't account for what, you know, Walter Williams may have said, you know.
Right.
That, like, you know, with all of those, you know, like, people actually worship Dr. Ben. People actually worship Dr. Savior. You understand what I'm saying?
Right, right, right.
You know, all our elders, all our ancestors, they put forth information, and they did so, you know, doing whatever they deem to be their life's work. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
I can't account for what this man may have said. You know, he could have smoked a joint before he gave it. I don't know. Understand what I'm
right.
saying? So
right,
can't
right.
really tell you, you know, what his reasoning behind him saying anything like that or why he would say anything like that, you know. So when it's something like that, all you could do is take it with a grain of salt and you could chew on the meat and spit out the bone, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right. Yeah, I ain't gonna give an account for what he's saying. I'm just trying to just see, you know, why would somebody, you know, not why would somebody, but that's a lot of history that, and he said even the Hyksos, that's all made up, you know. I'm trying to see, you know, that's a big chunk of history that he's saying that never happened, you know. And so I found that kind of strange.
Why do people go in buildings and shoot up the post office? You know
right
what I'm
on.
Saying? Like, why Kobe hit that raw? You know what I'm saying? Why Bush knocked down the tower? You know, like, why?
Well,
we don't know.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not asking as far as what their motive was, but I guess, you know, in my journey on this knowledge journey, you know, when I hear somebody of that stature, you know, or so-called qualifications, say something like that, you know, it makes me have to go try to see where they get information from, because I don't want to be dishing that wrong information myself if the time comes when I'm starting to teach, you know, in the next 10, 15 years. I don't want to be dishing out wrong information of something like that. You see what I'm saying? So it's not a matter of what their motive was or what his purpose was saying it. You know, if a historian is saying these things, and another historian saying this thing, you know, and I could say they were similar, but something of that magnitude saying something like that, that's pretty deep of that magnitude to say the Hyksos didn't come over or, you know, the hieroglyphics never been decoded. That's a big gap. And so in my journey, in my knowledge, I want to make sure that I'm learning what's right, you know what I'm saying, to teach myself, to free myself in time, you know, free others as well. And that's all out of my, you know,
right.
as far as like, yeah.
Well, yeah, and again, you know, that's why it's just imperative that you realize
y'all stop. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's why it's imperative that you realize you're your own God. And
that's very true.
Yeah, so you have the ability to accept or reject whatever it is.
Right. Right, right.
You understand?
Right.
And even
right.
what I'm saying now, it's up to you to say, okay, that makes sense or it don't. You
right.
know, because it's all you are your own axis.
Right.
You know. So with somebody saying something like that, you know,
yeah.
I don't know why they you know, I don't understand a lot of stuff. You know,
right.
I don't understand a lot of people. I don't, so that's why, you know, the people who I agree with, you know, those are the people who I hold near and dear to me, and those are the people
right.
who I honor and I cherish their relationship with me.
Right, right.
You know,
right, right.
And people
yeah.
who, the people who are disagreeable to me, the people who I don't want around me, I stay away from. You
right,
know what I'm
right,
saying?
Right.
And that's it, you know.
And one last simple question.
Yeah.
One last simple question. You're talking about Elijah Muhammad, too. The Malcolm X book. Is that written? I keep hearing I heard Dick Gregory say and all the same thing. Is that book written by the CIA or did they taint the book? So I want to get that book and read it. Has it been tainted by the CIA or FBI or whatever?
You mean the autobiography?
Yeah, is it a true autobiography? Yes, is it, or has it been tainted?
I don't think it's a true autobiography because Alex Haley wrote it. And, you know, it's not 100%, like, factual because, like, for instance, when you look at the character that's Shorty in the movie, from what I understand, that's like an amalgamation of multiple people. That he knew, you know, so, I mean, who's to say, you know what I mean? Like, the thing about it is that if you're, here's, and this is right knowledge right here, this is sound right reason. If you're not under a religious construct anymore to where you're taking everything literal,
right,
like some people do with religion, right? If you're
right.
not that way, you can read anything.
Right on, right on. That's true.
I could read the Satanic Bible, and if the Satanic got some the Satanic Bible got something in it that I could use to prove
right.
whatever point I'm trying to prove in one of my books, I'm going to use it.
Right on. Right. Right, right.
You understand? So,
yeah, I got you.
You know, it'll be up to the person. It'll be up to the person. Like, when I wrote my book, I made sure that I made it known that these weren't my words. If I was taking, like, for instance, in Kedar, why I explained the whole thing about 13, how it's 13 days of the year they do this, and it's 13 days of the year where this happens and that happens, right? I made sure that I put, you know, Berkeley and Grip all right before
I
actually put it in. You understand?
Right.
So
right.
With it'll be up to that person. If I took the Satanic Bible and I said Anton LaVey writes, it'll be up to that person to read that part or for them to be like, man, he crazy. He quoting the Satanic Bible. You
right, right, right. Right, I hear you. Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, I guess
it's a war in the mind. So,
right, right, right.
Do you take the red pill or do you take the blue pill? That's what it's all
right.
about.
Right, yeah, and then when I heard him say Dr. Williams say that, you know, I mean, usually, you know, when I first thought it would kind of bother me, but it didn't bother me this time. It just seemed kind of weird. But as I'm learning on this journey that you're going to get different information from others, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, of course, my source, you know, who I really, you know, is, you know, of course, Doc at all times, you know what I'm saying? But I do listen to others. But, yeah, that's all I had, man. That's it.
Okay. Cool. All right. Okay. You there, Kedar?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I wanted to first get you to explain to the family how Capricorn became synonymous with the devil. If you would, please, sir.
Okay, I'll do my best. When you're looking at, because we're not, what people can see, what I'm looking at, so I'm going to have to just try to explain this visually the best I can visually. When you're looking at, let's just say you're looking at a clock, and where 6 p.m. is on the clock is synonymous with where Capricorn would be on the zodiac. 9 o'clock would be Aries, 12 o'clock would be Cancer, 3 o'clock would be Libra, and again, 6 o'clock would be Capricorn. Now, when you draw a line from 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock, that represents the horizon. And so from 9 o'clock in the morning, or from 9 to 3 would represent the daylight hours, and from 3 to 9 would represent the nighttime hours, with 6 o'clock being the middle of the night. Well, when the sun would go from 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock, you know, the sun was ruling. But when it hit 3 o'clock, the moon would start to rule. And then that's when all of the predators would come out and everything became, to the ancients, everything became evil. The 3 o'clock is in the west. So the sun was symbolically killed in the west. But then it rises again in the east. So everything in the west is considered death. So from 3 o'clock to 9 o'clock would be considered the west, death, evil, anything that wasn't godly or good. Capricorn, the symbol for Capricorn is a goat. Another thing is Capricorn is ruled by the planet Saturn. Saturn became the word Satan. So when the sun was metaphysically killed on December, at the beginning of Capricorn, which is December 21st, 22nd, 23rd, 24th, then that sign of the goat became synonymous with the devil who killed the sun. So the goat had this negative nature, whereas most animals that chew the cud, they will just chew the top of the grass to feed, to graze. A goat, on the other hand, will pull the root up and destroy the crop. You know what I mean? That's how it was taught. So you're dealing with your physical nature. For instance, Capricorn is cardinal earth, earth being your fleshly nature, whereas Aries is cardinal fire, which would deal with a more spiritual nature. So
right.
Anything that deals with the earth is going to be considered, or your fleshly body or your lower nature is going to be considered evil. And as again with Capricorn, because that represents, Capricorn represents the winter. All of the months in Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces represent those last 3 months of the year. That was the winter time. So everything associated with those were considered, quote-unquote, evil. But Capricorn being the goat where the sun was sacrificed made that correlation even better. So when they created the Baphomet symbol, they used a goat's head, and they made that out to be a negative symbol as well. And then with the rockers who understood, those punk rockers, some of them understood the symbolism. When they would put up the two-finger goat head or the goat horn, you know what I mean, all of us on the other side was like, oh, man, them devil worshipers, you know what I mean? And, again,
right.
That's the correlation to Capricorn, which represented the time of death for the sun. So that's how the correlation was created, was because Capricorn represented the midnight hour where Saturn rules, where Satan rules, you know what I mean? It was considered the underworld or hell. Again, was Saturn rules, and it became associated with the devil. So goat, Capricorn, devil, 12 o'clock at night. As we know, most crimes, a lot of the crimes happen at night. A lot of debauchery happens at night. You know what I mean? So that's where the correlation came in at. It's not that complicated. You got that.
Yeah, I just thought that was real interesting. Jesus, the son, you know, is born in Capricorn. Jesus is also the scapegoat, you know, so I was just tripping on that, you know. Again, how they use all this symbolism and you make things seem, you know, so evil, like that one statue somebody posted in a group, and me and Brother T. Woods was trying to explain to him, but I actually have it in the book where it's Pan, it's the depiction of Pan and Aries, and they're having sex with each other, but you know, it seems like it's something so evil, but it's actually sun symbolism. You know which statue I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I'm here. Trying to get used to this phone. But yeah, I saw the symbol where the man was having relations with the goat.
Yeah.
I saw it.
What's a centaur? What's a centaur? I'm sorry.
Centaur is simply where they combine two zodiac symbols and then they create these animals. So centaur would be Aquarius. I'm sorry, not Aquarius. But it, no, wait a minute. It's part goat, part man, right?
Right. Yeah, I think. I'm guessing. I don't know. I'm just trying to see.
Pan is part man, part goat. So Pan would represent Capricorn and Aquarius. Then you got the Minotaur, which is part bull, part man, which is Gemini and Taurus.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got the one with Sagittarius, which is part goat, part man. And then you got the Sphinx, which is part man, part woman. So all it is a combination of two zodiac signs normally that's followed right by a fixed sign. And that's what they did. They combined those two, which equals 4,320 years. So every 4,320 years, roughly, you would have a calamity on the planet. And so those things were used to basically mark or represent an era, which is, like I said, a combination of the last two zodiac ages.
Okay.
Got it?
Yeah. So with that, you know, I started thinking about you know, how the sun, you know, is traveling in astrotheology. The sun is traveling through all of those different zodiacs, right? And I wanted to ask you, because it's just a theory at this point. I haven't been able to do any research about it, but I wanted to ask you if you knew that in the story of Jesus, the sun, as the sun is traveling through the different zodiacs, is that why Jesus' personality changes? Do that question make sense to you, bro?
Yeah, you could say that. You could definitely say that, where the sun goes into the different zodiac symbols to represent the different characteristics that are associated with each zodiac. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, because I was just thinking, like, how at one point Jesus be like, if somebody slap you, turn the other cheek. You know, then at another time, he go up in the temple and he tear down the temple and he say, I know y'all ain't gambling in my father's house. And then he tell the disciples, go trade your shoes, go trade your sandals for swords. You know, and it's like one minute he docile and the next minute he gangster. You know what I mean? Like the homies got to trade their Nikes in to get, you know, they got to walk around barefooted to go get strapped up, you know what I mean, in case it's going to go down. And it just, you know, it would make sense to me that, you know, that's why the story is being told that way, because it's about him traveling, you know, through the different zodiacs and picking up those attributes of those different personality traits that come with being or going through the zodiac.
Right. See, what you have is, again, as, you're right, as the sun goes through the 12 signs, as well as those seven planets, it's going to give you different characteristics represented. As you mentioned with the story of him chasing the money changers out of the temple, where Jupiter represents
right.
the era of Pisces, and it also represents abundance. So when you're chasing the money changers out of the temple, of course, we know is the head, is the body. So you're trying to change. What you're doing is running those thoughts out of your head, those bad thoughts, those negative thoughts. So when he comes in and chases them out, he's running Jupiter out. Jupiter, you remember, was replaced by Aquarius in Luke 22:10. So he had to, as Jesus said, he had to leave so that the Comforter could come. The Comforter was Uranus, or the Holy Spirit. But he had to first run Jupiter out because Jupiter ruled Pisces, which was the era that Jesus represented. And Jupiter is also, like I said, the deity of excess. When you go back and look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, where it says that, God put these lights or these stars in the firmaments for signs, right?
Right.
So once you understand that, then as you continue to read the Bible, you'll start to see that the signs that are there were the actual zodiac, right? Let's say go to, I think, the book of Job, the 26th chapter, and you'll see something like, I'm trying to pull this up for y'all. It'll say something like, by his spirit he has garnished the heavens, meaning he has created the heavens. His hand formed the crooked serpent. These are parts of his ways. Ways is just another way for saying signs. But how little a portion is heard of him, meaning a lot of people read it, but they don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did was they started taking a lot of the biblical stories and making them literal when they were really about the astrological signs. For instance, if you go to Luke chapter 10, verse 19, it says, behold, I will give unto you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions. So you got, these churches out here where these people are picking up snakes in there, getting bit. And, you know what I mean? I think if you go to the book of Mark, the 16th chapter, there's another thing about, you better drink poison and nothing happen to you, and you'll be able to take up serpents and things like that. And that's not what that's talking about. They're taking it literally when Paul even warned them that you're not supposed to be in a minister of the letter, meaning don't take this literally, take it metaphysically, take it with parables, as you find in Matthew 13:13, I think, where it says that Jesus always spoke in parables. Parables. So now, if somebody can take up a snake and then stand on a scorpion, you're like, wait a minute, that don't make sense to me. So when you start looking at the skies, you look up the star constellation called Ophiuchus, the so-called 13th constellation, you'll see a man there with a snake in his hand and he's got his foot on a scorpion. So that's telling you about one of the deacons in Scorpio. Well, three other deacons. One of them is Hercules, one of them is Serpent, and one of them is Ophiuchus. And so you're dealing with certain information that's telling you about the stars, but people are using those stories and making them literal. And it wasn't supposed to be taken literal. And like I said, go to Genesis 3:15, where it talks about the woman's seed shall bruise the head of the snake, and the snake shall bruise his heel. Well, if some man is handling a snake in the stars, then that's the same thing. Hercules did what? Hercules was what? Bit in the foot by a snake. Because that's representing the Ophiuchus star constellation. Ophiuchus, of course, was modeled after the Egyptian deity Imhotep. Because
he's going out.
Oh, you can't hear me?
Yeah, you disappeared.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. What's the last thing y'all heard?
Yeah, he was body after Imhotep, and that was all I heard.
Okay, right. Okay, so the Greeks created this guy, or they probably just renamed Imhotep. And this what it is they said that this particular guy saw two snakes that were, one snake had died, so the other snake left, went to get went to get herbs, brought them back, and he brought the other snake back to life, okay? So, of course, Hades saw this, and he was like, oh, no, we got to get rid of this guy, because Hades, of course, was a god of the underworld. If this Greek guy can bring people back to life, then Hades wouldn't have a job anymore. So Hades convinced Zeus to kill this guy, and then they killed him, and then they put him in the star as Ophiuchus, which is nothing but a representation of Imhotep, the wise physician of ancient Egypt, who had the ability to heal.
Right.
Okay. Now that's astrologically, that's the macrocosm. On the microcosm, it would be our ability to master the snake, which is the kundalini energy as it rises up our spinal column. That's the metaphysical aspect of it. That's the microcosm, where the larger part of it was about the star constellation Ophiuchus, which was the snake handler. And when you look at Ophiuchus and one of the stars in brightest stars in Ophiuchus is Razel al Hawa, which is Hawa meaning or head of the serpent charmers. And serpent charmers are anybody that talks to snakes or anybody that handles snakes. And Eve, of course, as we know in Genesis chapter 3, talked to the snake, whereas Moses in Exodus picked up the snake. You know what I mean? And I think we showed this in John 3:14, as well as Genesis 3:14, you got one person talking to a snake, one person handling the snake, and the largest or the brightest star in the star constellation of Ophiuchus is about Hawa, and Hawa is the Arabic word for, or the Hebrew word for Eve, from where they get the word Eve with the Latin version. So it's all related, but they're trying to show you about this particular star constellation that's in the sky, that's almost on the Milky Way line there, but it's near Scorpio. It's between Scorpio and Sagittarius. But we're taking it literally. But what it is when the sun goes into these different areas, it gives you different characteristics based off of what is associated with those four elements. For instance, most of us water sign people, Pisces, Libra, Scorpio, and I can't think of the other one, but we're all very emotional. You know, we have more of an emotional nature than the other people because we deal with water, which is more feminine based. And then you got the fire signs like Aries, and then you got like the earth signs again like Capricorn, and you got the air signs like Gemini. You know what I mean? And the Geminis are like the intellectuals, you know what I mean? So as you go into these different signs, you're going to get different personalities, and the story is going to be represented in the Bible based off of where you are or what planet rules that particular zodiac sign.
Mm.
I got that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's good stuff right there, sir. That's good stuff. Can you elaborate on the whole 40 days, 40 nights motif that's kind of like reiterated in religious, you know, doctrine, and how it's really in relation to astrology as well?
You have, as we've talked about on the show numerous times, you have solstices and equinoxes. So every 45 days, every 90 days, you go from either solstice to an equinox or equinox to a solstice. And, you know, of course, four of those is 360, which represents, you know, the complete circle.
Right.
So as you're, looking at this story about how Moses came into his prophethood at 40, how Muhammad came into his prophethood at 40. 40 represented maturity. So as you go from say we and when this retrograde is over, we'll be in the autumnal equinox, which is the fall season, right? So from fall to winter is going to be 90 days. Half of that is 45. So when you go from one age or one season to another season, it has to mature. You know what I mean? Like it's born, like winter, I mean, fall will be born in September 22nd, 23rd. And then 45 days from that is when it actually matures. And then it starts to disintegrate and merge into the next sign from that 45-day to 90-day period, if y'all follow what I'm saying.
Yes.
That makes sense to y'all. Okay.
Yes.
So that's where the correlation comes in, where these prophets or these people matured and became men, became, you know, you would consider grown at the age of 40, or you matured at the age of 40. That because season matures at that age, and that's where you would find your fixed points in the zodiac. They're always at the 45 degree or 45 day period. So if you take, for instance, if you take September 22nd, 23rd, and you count 45 days from that, you're going to come up to Halloween or November 1st. And then another 45 days from that, you know, November 1st, you're going to come up to the wintertime, December 21st. And then another 45 days, you're going to come to February 1st. Then another 45 days is going to be spring. Then another 45 days is going to be May 1st. Then another 45 days is going to be June 21st. And then another 45 days will be August 1st, and then another 45 days will be September 22nd. So all of these 45-day periods equal the maturity, but they also create that eight-pointed star, which has the fixed signs and the cardinal signs. Y'all follow me? Y'all with me?
Yes.
Okay. All right. You there, bro?
Yes, I'm listening.
Okay. So that's where it comes in at. That's where the 40 day period comes in at. It's a 45 day maturation of a particular cycle. Always.
Okay. Okay. Can you elaborate on the reason why they say Bethlehem is the house of bread?
Beth meaning house, and Lehem is the Hebrew word for either meat or bread. So the house of bread meaning that what do you use to make bread in ancient time? Wheat.
Wheat.
Exactly. Now, if you look in astrologically, when you look at the sign of Virgo, Virgo rules the stomach area, and it also is associated with wheat. She's holding a sheath of wheat because in Virgo, which is, you know, in this particular time frame we're headed into, is the bread and wine season. So Bethlehem being ruled by stomach, you know, I mean, well, you know, Bethlehem meaning house of bread or house of meat, because we're going into the season where the wheat is harvested and where the grapes have been maturing and they're ready to be pressed to make wine. And so Bethlehem being that area that's right below the heart, you follow? And so you got to leave Bethlehem and go higher into the promised land, which is in the head. So it's the house of meat, house of bread, and it also gives birth to, of course, the son, the virgin, Virgo. She has to give birth to the son, where the bread is. So you're going into the house of reaping, or the covenant of reaping. Whereas Aries and Gemini would be the covenant of sowing. Because what are you doing? You're planting your crops. You're planting the wheat. You're planting the grapes. And then, you know, once that cycle is complete in September, you know what I mean, you start to harvest or reap what you sow. Astrological.
Mm. Wow. That's even deeper than what, you know, I was hoping you could explain. Wow, okay. The concept of paradise and admonition and the Garden of Eden. Can you explain that to the family? What it really means?
Excuse me. Shit. Choking.
Get some water.
Now, what was that again?
The concept in the Garden, I guess, of the forbidden fruit concept. Can you go into what that's really about?
Forbidden fruit is really about your thoughts, because it's planted in the garden in Eden, which is eastward in the garden. He planted those trees. Those trees represent. I mean, the Garden of Eden in Eden is the mind is in the head. So when you eat of the fruit, the forbidden fruit, you're eating of negative thoughts that you shouldn't be bringing up into the temple. Again, that goes back into what Jesus said, you know, well, went in there and beat the money changers out of the temple because they brought bad thoughts into the temple, bad actions into the temple. So eating of the fruit is eating of the bad thoughts that are generated in your in Bethlehem that come up. Or your lower region, you know, those lower chakra areas, those bad thoughts that creep into your head from the left side, that patriarchy, you know what I mean, that I know I'm right, you know what I mean, your ego, right. You know, those types of things. So that's all right. It is. Eating the forbidden fruit is just eating bad thoughts.
Okay. Well, family, if y'all listening, I asked all the questions I needed to ask. So if y'all have some more questions or anything else you want to add to the call, please press 1. Oh, yeah, that's what I wanted to talk to you about, too, with the I thought was interesting with the 40 days, right? The 280 days of the sun going from Aries to Capricorn is 7 40-day period. And May Day is 40 days after the spring equinox, and Halloween is 40 days after the vernal equinox. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, because like I said, it's about the you know, when a season matures. Like when June, when summer here is hot, but when August gets here, it's hella hot. You know what I mean? The same thing with winter. In December, you know what I mean, it's cold. But in January, February, it's super cold. So that's when it comes into full effect. It's like at its full strength. And that's what it's symbolizing.
Okay. Yeah, you know, when I start seeing the numbers and stuff, it'd be really tripping me out. Is that number 28 always seems to pop up. And a lot of stuff. Can you explain the comparison between the children of Israel
in the Old Testament and Christ in the New Testament?
Jesus came out of the tribe of Judah, according to the book of Mark, book of Matthew, first chapter. So Judah represents the right-hand side of the head. If you go and look in the book of Numbers where God told Israel to put a camp up, or Moses told them, and count Israel, Judah camped on the east side. And on the east side, of course, is the right side of the brain, where Jesus goes and sits on the right side. He being from the tribe of Judah, that's why he had to be from the tribe of Judah, because he had to go sit on the right side. So the correlation is that that one tribe out of all of the tribes, you remember, there's certain verses in the Old Testament, the New Testament, where it says that God wiped the children of Israel out of his sight except for the tribe of Judah. They were all wiped out. So that left only one tribe, you know, that was left, and that was Judah, which Jesus descended from, according to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. We get the genealogy, actually, of Joseph, who was, you know, the stepfather of Jesus. But that's the correlation, is that one tribe out of all of them was the one that gave birth to Shiloh, or the Messiah, or the pure one, being Jesus, which is actually the right hemisphere of the brain.
Cool. We have another caller. Now on to Eric Cole Jerome. Now I'm on to Eric Cole Jerome on the call. Okay, I guess they didn't mean to press one. Okay. Okay.
Haru, where can we purchase your book?
The book is on SupremeScience99.com. And I actually have, if you go SupremeScience99.com/articles, there are excerpts from the book there that you could read, you know, while the book is in transit, I guess. But, yeah, you just go to the website and click on the book. You can order it from there.
Okay. What's the title of the book?
Supreme Science, Volume 1, Does the Matrix Really Exist?
Okay.
Have you seen Brother Kedar, any of the pictures that really like show? Because I'm really tripping off of like this cat Leonardo da Vinci now. You know, that show Da Vinci's Demons is probably like my favorite TV show. You know, but that one picture. I realize now that one picture that he drew of the man, and the man has the arms, the different, I think he has like three arms on each side. I don't know what the picture is actually called, but I realize now that's actually a depiction of the sun. And the legs are, the leg, one of the legs, and the arms is the fixed point. Then one of the arms he got as the equinox, and then the head would be the winter solstice. and the phallus would be the summer solstice. You know what I'm talking about, that one picture?
No, I haven't seen that.
Okay, I have to send it to you. But it's like a real popular picture, and it's a man in a circle. It's like a circle, and it got a man inside of it, and he got his legs spread open. Let me see. I'll try to pull it up right
quick.
Yeah,
find a picture, and yeah, send it to me, yeah.
My internet, yeah, here it is. Yeah, this dude Leonardo da Vinci was something else, family. Like, seriously, like he was really trying to put the information out.
Yeah, he was, but the church was persecuted. That's why he had to hide all of the stuff, you know, via symbols, so that they wouldn't know that he was trying to educate the masses and to fight back against the powers that be.
Right. Right, and that's what's so interesting about the show, too, is that they actually show the war that he was having, you know, with them. You know what I mean? Like, how he, you know, they basically, like, the Pope the whole time is basically trying to recruit him because he's such a genius, and the Pope wants to use, you know, his talents and his abilities for his purposes.
Right, but they were smart enough to know to work. They were like the spook who sat behind the door. They worked
right
for the government, but they were smart enough to know how to go back and educate the masses.
Right, right. Right. We got another caller as well. I'm sending this picture over to both of y'all so y'all can check it out.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. 313 area code, Jerome.
Hey, what's up, Byro?
Peace, what's going on?
Just chilling. This weird.
What else?
Oh, okay. That science symbol. That's that symbol that we used to have on our science books back in the day. I'm trying to think of the name of it. I know what you're talking about.
The picture.
Man, he got his hands. Yeah, the man with his arms spread open, his legs spread open.
Yeah.
It's a kind of. It's some kind of medical symbol. That's what a fan it is. But I know it's something I had the name on, took my tongue, but I forgot.
I don't know. I think it's called Man. I think it's called Leonardo da Vinci's Man.
I got the picture right here, but it don't have a name on it.
I see that, man. What you say?
You say what now?
What you mean?
You didn't get it?
I thought you all asked me a question. Hold on. Oh, Oh, yeah. I can't think of the name of that man, but I know you're talking about.
Yeah.
No, it's not microbial, man. It's something else, ain't it?
Okay.
But can you see that?
Vitruvian man. Vitruvian.
Vitruvian. That's what it's called?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We got another call, 818 there, who called you on? 818 there, called you on the call?
Oh, yeah, I was just going to tell you the name, but you just got it. I was going to let you know what it was called.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, but you see what I'm saying, Kedar?
Yeah, he definitely had symbolism in that particular image. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's a trip, man. Yeah. The family this week, when we got 30 more minutes. And we're not going to manufacture 30 minutes, family.
Manufacture 2 hours.
We got 34 feet and one has a push. Press one. Even if you just want to tell us we're some of it. You don't want to hear nothing that we got to say because you love your Jesus. Okay. You got anything, sis, before
no.
We go?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm good.
You got anything else, Kedar?
No, sir.
Okay. Well, good hour and a half. See you, family. See you next week.
First day I met you, we were so young. You were a blessing, there was no guessing. You were the one. The love was so crazy, we had a baby and said our vows. That's when you told me, should anything happen, I can hear you now. You told me if the sun comes up and I'm not home, be strong. Beside you, do your best to carry on. Tell the kids about me when they're old enough to understand. Tell them that their daddy was a good man. As I stand under it, I can't help but wonder if you see it where you are. For whatever reason, we don't see the seasons change again. Go there with peace of mind, we'll meet on the other side. Cause true love don't end. Oh baby, if the sun comes up and you're not home, I'll be strong. You cannot be silent. wonder, like, where is he? My UK, what does the paper say to make you cry that way? It says your daddy lived for you and your daddy died for you, and I'll do the same. I'll be if the sun comes up and I'm not home. Be strong. I'm not beside you. Do your best to carry on.
A18 area code, you had a question?